Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
First, let me get to vaping, which has been in the news quite a lot, of course. Last week it was in the news because Donald Trump in America decided that he would ban flavoured juices from the market. Because, of course, it's a different system over there. It's very unregulated when it comes to vaping. But now a leading heart consultant called for a ban on vaping and warned it's more dangerous than smoking and booze combined. My gosh, and we were told there last year by the HSE, or by the NHS in the UK, it was 95% safer than smoking. He's now said that Simon Harris needs to step in before it's too late and just ban them. So let me just go speak to this gentleman. Professor Sharif Sultan, who's the president of the International Society of Vascular Surgery, joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you, Sharif.
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
I mean, this is kind of coming as news to people because we all kind of jumped, as I did, from smoking to vaping, thinking we were the best in the world and we wanted a pat on the back because we were doing good for ourselves. Now we're being told, hey, it's not so good after all.
It's very important to understand there is different way to look at it. First of all, there is the lobbying about what's happening and how to cover a bigger story. We know that tobacco cigarettes cost the smoker one day of life for every 4 days they smoke. It's by far the most lethal legal product on the market, and e-cigarettes are as harmful as them. Let's start in this way. We know that electronic cigarettes are just as harmful as regular cigarettes, and many claim otherwise is equivalent to claiming that a heart attack is less harmful than cancer. You tell you that, you know what I mean? What's going on? We have major problem. We have an epidemic of young guys never smoked before starting using this vaping. They never, ever touched a cigarette before.
But here's the argument. Here's the argument, Sharif. If they didn't, I mean, if you go back 30 years ago in Ireland, 80% of the population smoked cigarettes. All right, male and female, okay? If those young people didn't start vaping at 15 or 16 years of age, because yes, I believe it is a trend almost, but would they have started smoking? Could they have possibly started smoking cigarettes?
In fact, there was a trend being healthy and everything was going well. It started in 2016 and you could see the curve coming in since 2016, 2017. And as you could see that the U.S. Surgeon General reported that e-cigarette use among high school students had increased by 900%. 40% never smoked before and now they moved to use both of them. So e-cigarette provides a gateway toward a full-fledged smoker.
Well, yeah, but if you take the stats from the UK, 3.2 million adults, because that's a fairly big sample size compared to Ireland, 3.2 million adults vape or use e-cigarettes. That's 6.2% of the population, right? But they figure that 52% of those are ex-smokers. Now, if that's 52% of smokers who are not smoking anymore, surely that's better than having that 52% smoking tobacco products.
Very good. Let's go now to the problem. So currently, by European law, you're not allowed to use the byproduct coming from petroleum that's been used in the oil.
In China and places like that, yes.
Yeah, that's called two things, diacetyl and vitamin E acetate. Both of them, when you inhale it and combined with the flavor, goes into the lung and causes clogged lung. And now it have a layman term in the United States. They call it popcorn lungs, where they plug them up. There's no treatment for it. And in fact, some of the people who are now ventilated in the intensive care units in the United States are on a waiting list for lung transplant. This is enormous.
But what we're hearing from the United States from last week's story of Donald Trump and banning the flavors is that a lot of the people who ended up, 500 people have ended up in A&E and different places in America from e-cigarettes. But those people were experimenting with vitamins. They were experimenting with cannabis oil. They were experimenting with maybe things that they shouldn't be. And of course, in the United States, the juices or the vape liquids are not regulated the way they are in Europe.
But if this is the way, so why they banned it in India? Why it's totally banned in Australia? Why it's totally banned in Scotland? New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Michigan have banned it. North Carolina have taken them to the high court to try to expose the juul, which is the main problem of what's happening. Remember, it's a fashion, and it's destroying the lung of young people. we thought it was only
I mean,
one.
I agree with you, by the way, and I vape. I agree with you. It's better if you don't vape than vape, of course, absolutely. Because even if it's, according to the NHS, 95% safer than smoking, it's still 5% damaging to your health. That shouldn't be. You shouldn't be doing something that's damaging to your health. But for people who smoked, you know, and I think the biggest problem I find with the vaping is it's easily available to me. In other words, to have a cigarette, I'd have to go outside. I have to find a place to do it that wouldn't be so antisocial. Whereas with the vape, I can walk around with it in my hand all the time. I can do it in the house and nobody cares. So it is easier to do it. But the nicotine itself, according, like I'm looking at, for example, the British Heart Foundation. They say nicotine, while highly addictive, is not a significant health hazard for people without a heart condition. Without a heart condition, it does not cause acute cardiac events or coronary heart disease, and is not a carcinogenic. But nicotine is a problem for people with heart disease. It raises the heart rate, contradicting the goal of most treatments. In other words, they're saying as long as you don't have an underlying condition, which you're probably going to die from anyway, you know, it's the nicotine itself is not that dangerous.
In fact, I totally disagree. Nicotine is dangerous. It causes a spike in your blood pressure. It causes damage to the endothelium. It changes your RNA, and it links to a lot of major problems that happen in your body. Remember one thing, whatever being done and written, there is a lot of lobbying people writing behind that. But who get injured is the statistics about the patient number. So do you like to be a stats on a line in a government report, or you like to be a healthy individual? That's very important.
But if we were to say that, there's a lot of other stuff we should ban too. I mean, coffee increases your heart rate, for God's sake. You know, I mean, if we were to live perfectly,
just coffee is good for you. Coffee will benefit up to 60% of the population. There's 35% cannot benefit from coffee, but 65% it will improve their longevity and make them, even there are studies that prevent Alzheimer's. So coffee might be better than vaping, that's for sure. The problem is vaping, that we do not know the long-term sequelae of it. It's not regulated. The American Lung Association are warning about it and said that it induced something like adult respiratory distress syndrome, which you have no treatment. The problem that this lipoid pneumonia that happened to these guys, there is no treatment. And the lung is damaged forever.
Are you saying to me in 30 years' time, 20, maybe even sooner with the technologies we have nowadays with studies, similar to the way almost doctors were advertising cigarettes 30 years ago, are you telling me in 20 or 30 years' time, you know, some bright spark is going to come along and say, look, I told you so, look at the damage, we've got people with emphysema, we've people with cancers, we've people with lung diseases, and this is all caused by vaping, but you wouldn't listen to us 20 years ago?
Exactly, like the thalamide problem, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. We need to be very clear that we don't know the long-term effect. We know the short-term effect. If you use it extensively, it do damage for the lung. Can you imagine if this is after 20 years, what's going to happen to the lung? We don't know. So we are blind as you are, but the only thing that we warn the patient, we find a problem, be careful. We don't know the long-term, and there's not enough research. And 90% of the research available is done by the e-cigarette companies, which we must not trust.
Well, the vaping companies, a lot of them have been bought out by the tobacco companies who are not making as much money as they used to. I'm looking at in the United States, for example, there's 10 million vapers. Most of those, or nearly half of them, are under the age of 35, with 18 to 24-year-olds the most regular users. So it does seem that young people tend to be using the vapes more so than older people.
This is a way, because it's becoming easy to just plug it into USB and it's like an iPad in your hand. Look what the CNN and what the NBC have done. They banned the advertising about the Juul over there because they know there's an epidemic about between young kids about it. You cannot find a 15 years or 16 years old guy having his e-vaping apparatus in his hand and going inside the school. This never happened. They were afraid to carry a cigarette. No, but they told us it's safe. It's good. There's no side effect from it. We must educate
education is the key, and you're on the air now telling people, you know, well, look, there's a possibility that if you don't do this responsibly, as far as you're concerned, you shouldn't do it at all. But when you say that you're calling on Simon Harris to step in and ban it before it's too late, is that a bit nanny state-ish?
No, it's not nanny at all. We don't know what's the long-term effect. We know that a lot of complications happen. We know that a lot of countries, Scotland is like Ireland. It's exactly the same. They banned it. Definitely, they had a good reason to do that. And you know how difficult to get anything through the Scottish Parliament. It went through. In Australia, you are not allowed to sell nicotine from the start, full stop. You are not allowed. It's over. You can't do it, and it's prohibited totally in Australia. India, the biggest market in the whole world, banned it yesterday. So there is something happening. And remember, the report that's coming, there is a lag between 6 to 8 weeks to reach the peak of the numbers. So in 8 and 9 weeks from today, we'll find what's happening. And that's what's alarming. We have seen people get injured because of that. We have patients who thought that it's safer to get more nicotine with increasing the volt and increasing the strength of the cartridge in their e-vaping, and this is much more safer.
Yeah, it's I see these guys on YouTube, and they have competitions to see who can put the most amount of smoke out of their lungs. I don't know how they manage to do it. But, I mean, the total ban... I mean, for example, alcohol causes liver disease, but I'm not calling for a... I don't drink anyway, so it wouldn't bother me. But I'm not calling for a ban on alcohol because there are people who responsibly drink the odd pint every now and again.
But again, Niall, we have to look at it from all direction. The problem, it goes inside the lung. There is air sacs that exchange the oxygen. That air sac requires something called surfactant. The vitamin E acetate and diacetyl destroy that surfactant so that the lung fails to exchange the carbon dioxide inside the body with the oxygen outside. Patient gets suffocated, and that's why they're required to go on a ventilation. And when they look inside the lung, it looks like a popcorn lung.
Like popcorn kernels, yeah.
Exactly, on the CT scan. And they try to remove all this oil in it. It's impossible. And that's why they put on a lung transplant list. Can you imagine that? How is it going to happen in here? We cannot cope. The system is already overstretched. We are trying to all the time to put water on fire. Let's for once prevent the fire before it starts.
Well, I can tell you now, Professor Sharif Sultan, you've certainly scared the life out of me. I think my vape is going in the bin today. Listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the line. I appreciate you. All right.
Pleasure.
All right, there you go. Sharif Sultan, who's the president of the International Society of Vascular Surgery. He's a professor. He knows his stuff. He's used to it. And, you know, obviously he knows a lot more than most of us who are going to be talking about this today. But clearly the jury is out. The stories that it was safer... We're hearing a lot of bad stories. Now, of course, the people who sell it will tell you, oh, well, hold on, they're picking and choosing what they're talking about here. You know, there is a safe way of doing it and everything else. But he talks about the fact that this, and I wondered about it, because when you're sucking in this oil, which essentially what it is, it's almost like a vegetable oil, I suppose, with flavors and nicotine and everything, and it's burning, and you're sucking it in, the residue has to go somewhere, doesn't it? Because if I take a really strong vape and blow it into a tissue, you see that little oily mark on the tissue. That, just like with the cigarettes, when you used to take a pull of your cigarette and you blow it into a tissue, you saw the black mark, which is the tar. That oil, I suppose, has to go somewhere. So I'm assuming it can only sit on your lungs. Now, I'm assuming we get it back out of our lungs by coughing or whatever, but maybe not all of us. So let me know what you think. Is he right? Should Simon Harris, like India, like Australia, like Scotland, like many other places, should Simon Harris just step in and say, that's it, it's game up? He says, put out the fire before it even starts. And just say, look, until we know more about this, until we can actually prove 100% that this is safe, which he clearly believes it's not, that we should just ban it. Is he right? Should we just ban vaping? It's quite concerning when you see the amount of young people doing it now. It really is. Okay, let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Dave?
How are you?
Dave, he scared the shite out of me there. I'll be honest with you. I mean, he's a surgeon. He knows what he's talking about.
I was the same earlier on when your researcher called me. I said I do a bit of digging and I learned stuff about vaping and I never knew. And like a lot of the problems, like a lot of the doctors would say, we don't know because it's a very new technology. And they said, like, when you have all these different chemicals in and you're vaporizing, you're changing the chemical structure of them. And you're breathing, like, they're like, yeah, smoking is bad, but we know what smoking does to the lungs. Like, there was one woman saying it'll cover the alveoli inside your lungs, which are used for transporting oxygen around your body. You know, so your body isn't getting as much oxygen, so that's leading to cardiovascular problems. So maybe we should put a bit of a moratorium on this until we know more.
I mean, I actually did a bit of research today, and I said, when Helena said he's coming on, I said, no problem, I'll have a go at this guy. And I said, I'll go on and find all the contradictory evidence, you know, and he's talking shite. But I went on, and I actually couldn't find any contradictory evidence.
I was the same. I was the exact same as you. I was like, this is all scaremongering. But, I mean, we're constantly bemoaning nowadays that people aren't listening to scientists when it comes to vaccines. I know we have scientists clearly telling us, listen, we thought this was better, but as we go along, we're finding out that it's not. Like, it's not like there's been any long-term epidemiological studies done on this.
Like, I'm a bouncer. I bounce from smoking to vaping, you know, and I find that, you know, at the moment I'm back vaping again, and when I vape, I tend to get a cough.
Well,
I don't actually get when I smoke, ironically enough, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I found with vaping, it gives me an awful sore throat, but I actually went back on the rollies because I found the vapor was actually really doing a number on my chest.
Well, that's because it's convenient and you have it in your hand all the time,
you have it more, but I even found...
I mean, Helena bought a new vape there last week. She's going cold turkey. She's back on the vape again. And she's walking around with it stuck to her hand.
But that's it. Because I always said to people, when you have a cigarette, you light it, you smoke it, it's gone. But when you have a vape, it's constantly in your hand. And with a lot of the nicotine products, they were saying, they said you might have, X amount of nicotine on the bottle. But the delivery system might be pumping even more nicotine into your body.
That's safe based on the fact that you'll take 8 pulls off it every hour, which you would if you were smoking cigarettes, 20 cigarettes a day. But nobody does that. That's what I'm saying. Nobody does that. Everybody just vapes their brains out.
Yeah. And I did find, and when they were talking about blood pressure as well, I did find when I was vaping, my heart would be racing. You know, and I found I can't even say this, but I actually feel better since I went back smoking rollies because I don't smoke as many rollies as I would have my vape in my hand all the time.
I'm not encouraging people to do that either. Maybe you should just go cold turkey.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Stay there. Let me just go to Sandra as well. Sandra, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Sandra?
I'm good, and you, Niall?
I'm surprised to hear Dave because he's always defended the vaping somewhat on the air. But now after listening to, I suppose, the evidence over the last week or so, it's kind of hard to say, you know, we don't believe them anymore.
Exactly. Listening to that doctor speak. He's not going to come on and make a fool of himself, Niall. He's not going to tell lies. I mean, if it's banned in other countries, I've got to ask the question, what the hell? Now, I just think in a couple of years' time, I've always said it's going to come out and there's going to be more of an epidemic because it's trendy to smoke, you know, to vape, rather.
Yeah.
And as you took a puff of that and blew it into a tissue, it has to go somewhere.
It do. That's my thinking on the oil. And I'll ask people if you're vaping to do that right now. Take a good big pull off and blow it into a tissue and you'll see a little oily spot where you blow it. And that oil has to go somewhere.
Yeah, and if that doesn't scare the... I don't vape. I don't smoke. That's just scared the bejesus out of me. I swear to God. Because I have sisters, I have friends who are vaping. I'm saying, listen, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And of course, there's not going to be a lot of backup because the money that they're making... To give up cigarettes, they're going to have something, these organisations.
Well, the irony of it is the tobacco companies are the ones that own most of these vaping companies.
Of course, of course, because everybody's trying to get them off cigarettes, it's dangerous, blah, blah, blah. So, where are we going to make money from? Oh, here.
Vaping,
another.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, as well as that, you got to say to yourself, I firmly believe that there is better care for cancer out there. A cure, I don't know, but the pharmaceuticals, the doctors, you know, when you get the all clear, you're saying, great, the hospital lets you go. The pharmacist is saying, oh, God, I'm down another customer. Do you know what I mean?
We could get into a whole conversation about that Saturday today, but I don't believe that if there was a cure or something there for people to survive cancer that they wouldn't tell us about it.
No.
I genuinely don't believe that, Saturday.
I do think there's better care. They're making too much money off it, Niall, you know?
Well, I do believe that money certainly helps. I believe the more money you have, the better care you're going to get. That's for sure.
Yeah, possibly.
Although in saying that, you know, Steve Jobs died, cancer. He's the richest man in the world. So, I mean, money doesn't buy your health. Okay, but getting back to the vaping, you believe that it should be banned. Simon Harris should be listening to people like this doctor or professor.
Yeah, I was kind of hemming and hawing, maybe, blah, blah, blah. But after listening to that doctor and popcorn lung, and I've done a little bit of research as well about it. I do think it should be banned.
Okay, well, stay there. I want to go to Jim as well. Jim, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Jim?
Afternoon, Niall. Yeah, how you doing?
Good. I know we don't get everybody agreeing with what kind of seems like it's nanny state, I suppose.
look, Niall, it is what it is. It's a bad situation. I think a blanket ban is what's needed. It's a cul-de-sac that just has a bad ending in the story for all people involved. And I'm talking combined between regular cigarettes and vaping. I think it's both of them should be banned across the board.
But how do you suddenly get everybody to go cold turkey? You know, you can't just turn around and say, you know, as in from January the 1st, we're banning vaping and cigarettes. That means all you're doing is handing a market to the black market.
I understand. I mean, I went cold turkey over 16 years ago. And I used to be 1.5 packs of those, the red and white cowboy cigarettes or whatever that I thought were dead kills to smoke. I was a packet and a half of them a day. And I just got up one morning and just decided that's it. No more. Threw every pack of the cigarette and every lighter I had in the house into the bin, and that was it.
Do you ever get a sniff and go, gosh, I'd love a cigarette?
No, for nothing. Nothing. No, I'd say probably the on the other side of it, that, okay, I put on a few more pounds that I sort of carried and have carried probably since, but in the same respects, the quality of life, your taste, everything is, it's just you feel more healthier. Everything.
And the coffin's gone. No more coughing.
No more coughing up hawkers and coughing and spluttering and taking you so long to get going in the morning before you have your coffee and your first drag of a morning to get you kick-started, you know?
Yeah.
But that's only, look, that's all a very individual thing. I mean, what works for me might not necessarily work for anybody else. And I that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think that these products are dangerous. Any product nowadays, you look upon it, you'd say with all these cancers of the stomach and things, these are all things that we put into our body, whether it's food, whether it's alcohol, or whether it's this e-liquid or whatever that it is. And combining that then with the toxins that are in regular cigarettes as well too. So if you're prepared to ingest or imbibe or inhale any type of substance, there's always going to be a risk. I think enough people now know what the dangers are with these things.
Okay, well, and he did say himself, in fairness to him, that we don't actually really know fully, you know, the damage that they can do. But he said the problem is it going to be like cigarettes and in 20 years' time? Are we going to say, why didn't we do something about it?
Well, that's it. You could consider, well, okay, it's probably more than that. That you say the whole about torn with the cigarettes, for example. I don't know if you remember, like, there was a time where people could actually smoke on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was little ashtrays in the seats.
Well, the time you went to your GP's office and he was sitting there smoking while he was talking to you.
There you go. So there's been a whole... I mean, nothing is impossible to do. I think that like everything else, it's habitual. It is something that can be classified as possibly as a drug, and that people just get hooked on doing it and they think whatever. And I don't want to hear about the negative aspect of it. I'm not interested about
la la la, hands over the ears. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, well, I was kind of like that too, yeah.
Well, I would have been like that myself, to be honest with you.
Bad cough you've got there, Dave.
There was no life-changing experience to say that, whatever. I just woke up and said, that's it, stop, full stop. And I had my first cigarette when I was 12.
Well, sorry, Dave, could you give up the rollies?
I've tried. I'm trying again, and I really want to make a go of it. I have tried. I've tried the patches, the gums, that Nicorette, you know, like that yolk you spray into your mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have you ever tried that?
No.
It's vile. They showed on the ads, and this guy, he's all stressed out, and he goes, I'm just going to get my Nicorette quick mist, and goes, squirt, squirt. It is absolutely horrible. It
didn't work for you, no.
It is the worst tasting thing I've ever tried in my life. I vomited after I first used it.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Kevin, because Kevin, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Kevin?
How's it going?
Hey, Kevin, do you smoke or vape, or what do you do?
I vape.
All right. Well, you've heard, you know, Professor Sharif Sultan there at the start of the show. And, okay, he's saying the jury is still out, but as a vascular surgeon, he has seen the result of vaping.
Yeah, look, I'm sure. And look, at the end of the day, we well can all say, oh, well, look, we didn't think that cigarettes were bad for us, and now we do. The medical research has changed there now, though.
I know, the research has got better, yeah, of course.
But look, Public Health England, Cancer Research UK, and the Royal College of Surgeons over in the UK have said that it's 95% less.
I could play you an ad by the Royal College of Surgeons and by the American College of Surgeons where it says 95% of doctors recommend you smoke Camel. And that was from 30 years ago.
30 years ago, when the medical research was different, though. We know now what the difference is. We know that cigarettes are harmful. We can now tell. And look,
but we didn't know 30 years ago. one or two doctors might have guessed they were harmful to you and bad for you. I don't know how we ever thought they were good for us, by the way. But maybe, just maybe, in 20 years' time, we'll realise that, you know, by, I suppose, turning something into an aerosol, which essentially we're doing by burning it and putting it into your mouth, that that can be dangerous, or it could. And you've heard him talk about popcorn lung. I've read about the popcorn lung before, by the way. I think it's a certain type of vape juice, by the way. But
it is, actually. It's called diacetyl. It was a liquid that was used as a flavour enhancer.
Yeah.
Now, the reason it's called popcorn lung is 50 years ago it was used in the manufacturing of popcorn.
Oh, popcorn, that's right, yeah.
And that's not because your lungs look like popcorn. But look, that's banned under the TPD, which is new regulation that was introduced in 2017. So that's in...
But why are many countries like Australia, India, Scotland, San Francisco, for example, why are they all banning vaping?
Well, in California, that's a whole different story. That's to do with agreements with Big Tobacco from 1998 called the MSA. You can Google that.
But I mean, surely if countries are concerned about it or have concerns, we should have some concerns.
Well, the main thing is just about regulation. First of all, it needs to be banned for sales to anyone under the age of 18. Because that's obviously the biggest concern, is that this is the next generation of smokers is going to be youth uptaking vaping. There shouldn't be. It should be an alternative for people who are already smoking.
But then you have to go into a pharmacy and prove you're smoking before they'll sell it to you. You know what I mean?
Look, there's a whole kind of, as you said earlier, it's a whole nanny state thing.
I'm always against nanny state, and I'm going to be talking about banning meat in a few minutes. And I'm actually always against nanny state, but when I see something that's certainly a public health concern, and I think it is a public health concern, and the fact that you've got young people particularly, whatever about the 52% of that large number who are vaping, who are probably ex-smokers, that's probably fine because they were doing themselves damage anyway, and they're doing themselves less damage now. But the young people who start doing it and who have never smoked, that's a concern.
But look, there's been zero side effects or serious side effects reported in the UK or Ireland. The first, the article that came out yesterday in the Daily Mirror from Sheriff Sultan, that was the first that has actually, and there's still no actual concrete evidence. I don't want to say and go around with a conspiracy theory hat on, but at the end of the day, up until now, there's been no serious side effects reported as attributed to vaping. The stuff over in the States is due to bad regulations.
Well, and people experimenting. Yeah, people experimenting.
THC cartridges.
Yeah. I do understand that they have been experimenting in the US, and a lot of people are putting two batteries on and putting all sorts of juices and cannabis oil and all sorts of carry-on into them. All right, listen, thanks very much indeed, Kevin and Sandra and Dave and everybody got involved in that gym as well. And one person says, cold turkey is your only man. Yeah, well, it probably is your only man.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.